Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Been There, Done That, a podcast series for independent coffee shop owners brought to you by iZettle. I'm your host, Nassos Papadopoulos, and on the show with me today is Dale Harris, a UK and world barista champion and the director of wholesale at Has Been Coffee. The theme of today's conversation is buying great coffee from suppliers, which is actually a lot harder than it sounds. If you want to succeed in the coffee business, you need to serve exceptional coffee. But knowing what that is and building a relationship with someone who can supply it to you on a consistent basis isn't a walk in the park. Fortunately, Dale's a world barista champion who really knows what quality coffee looks like, and he's been head of wholesale for a successful roastery for over 8 years, meaning he has a perfect understanding of the cafe supplier relationship. More on that in a minute. But first, remember you can access today's special bonus content, a cheat sheet for helping you taste great coffee like the pros, by going to the podcast section of the iZettle blog or direct from the link bit.ly/iZettlePodcast. That's bit.ly/IZETTLE podcast. Just choose this episode, number 2 on the list, go to the page and sign up on the form to access the bonus content, which also includes the episode transcript so you can get hold of the conversation in written form and go back over it later. Now, back to business. Dale has been in the coffee industry for over a decade, starting life off as a barista and working his way up in the industry before getting involved with Steve Layton at Has Been, where he now works as director of wholesale. In 2017, Dale won the UK Barista Championship after finishing second in the previous 3 years, and that took him onto the World Barista Championships in Seoul, South Korea, which he won after 4 grueling days of competition, charming the judges with a beautiful presentation that showcased all the skills he'd built up over years and years of hard work in the industry and competition. In this episode, we discuss a whole range of topics, including how a coffee shop should go about picking a roastery to work with in the first place, how to develop that relationship over time, and what good coffee actually looks like, and how to educate yourself so that you can pick the best quality product for your customers. So whether you're looking for advice on how to pick your suppliers or choose the best quality coffee, this episode will give you everything you need and much, much more. So without further ado, please enjoy this conversation with Dale Harris. Dale, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Awesome to have you here. Lots of exciting stuff to go into today, from the relationship that an independent coffee shop owner builds with their roasters to hiring the best staff to really create an amazing experience for your customers. But before we go into all of that good stuff, tell me a little bit about how you got into coffee.
Well, so there's a difference between getting into coffee and getting into good coffee, right? So I grew up drinking instant coffee. My mum drank instant coffee. That was what was in the house. That's what I thought coffee was. And, you know, as you get older, you start tasting these things. And I didn't really enjoy it, but I drank it. It was a habit. When I started going to college, then I started going to cafes. So it was really cafes that I got into before I got into coffee. And maybe that was very much what would be the second wave of coffee. So Starbucks style cafes, maybe Starbucks hadn't even reached kind of the rural part of the UK where I'm from. So it was, you know, a regional version of Starbucks. And I fell in love with the staff. You know, the staff were cool. They were like excited about what they were doing, excited about talking to people. And the more I hung around the cafe when I should have been going to college lectures, the more coffee I tasted and the more I kind of moved through it. Then that led me to looking at better coffee and what is better coffee and why is it. And then eventually I found myself, you know, this is more important to me than what I'm doing. This is where I want my career to be. So I left what I was doing behind. I started again right at the bottom. I was going to open a cafe. That was my dream. Still maybe is, you know, a little bit of a dream. But instead of jumping headlong into that, I was like, well, I need some experience. I need to really understand whether I can do this. So I started, you know, wiping tables at a big chain. Over the course of the following year, I went from wiping tables to making coffee to, you know, managing a store, managing a few stores, mostly because I had good retail experience from my previous job. So I advanced pretty quickly, but I stopped advancing in terms of coffee. Like, I stopped learning things about coffee because they had a very fixed product. They knew what they wanted to do, and they wanted people to repeat it across 2,000 stores. So then I was looking for other opportunities. I found a chance to be a trainer, a regional trainer for a machine company. So I started working with them. That pushed me on for another couple of years. So I learned more about coffee. I got to work with different equipment. I got to work with different people who were excited about coffee. And then through that opportunity, I got more and more involved in the coffee community, the coffee industry, that led me to barista competition, which is almost like a fast track to making good friends in coffee. A lot of the people that I think you'll be interviewing in these podcasts, I met them for the first time through barista competition, or because they were competing, so I went to ask them questions, whatever. And that was really the accelerator pedal on my career, because by meeting those people, you saw what other opportunities were out there, and you were immediately tasting more coffee, having better conversations, and that led me to my job that I've had for the last 8 years, which is working for Hasbeen. So we're a roastery based in the Midlands, an online retail store, which is pretty successful, and then a wholesale supply business that covers most of the country, a little bit of Europe, providing just specialty coffee roasts to order for the kind of cafes who want that kind of product. So
one of the main focuses for this episode links directly into really a lot of what you've been doing for almost the last decade, which is product, and almost before that as well with your experience as a barista. Tell me, for an independent coffee shop owner looking to build a relationship with a wholesaler, with a roastery, what are the most common mistakes that you've seen people make, other than, of course, not going with Hasbeen? What are the common mistakes that shop owners make?
I think the biggest challenge when somebody's setting up a business is really understanding what they want. You know, they envision everything. And everyone's an optimist at the very beginning. So they're like, oh, we're going to set up a store, and then we're going to quickly grow to 5 or to 10. And they're really thinking about where they're going to be and not where they are. Roasteries or like coffee suppliers see that all the time, you know, and we've seen lots of new starts, and we've seen some of them succeed and some of them fail. And some will become, you know, small chains or small groups with 3 or 4 cafes, and some won't and still succeed, and some get lost somewhere along the way. So if you know that you want to supply, you know, you want a business in a certain area, and you can look at the demographic and what the customers need, or what they're not being served by other people already in the market, you can have a real clear idea of the product you want to be serving and what you need in terms of ingredient. If you have real clarity over what you want to offer, that helps you design that business model, at least for the beginning, around your desire and around your customers' needs. And the more clarity you have over that, the better the conversation you can have with your coffee supplier. Some parts of the market in the UK, you know, there's already lots of great cafes, so you need to do something really different. And that could be it being very product-led. So maybe it's single origin only, maybe it's coffee from different roasters, maybe it's something that isn't already on offer. If you're setting up a cafe in an area where there are no cafes, maybe you need to start a few steps back, and you need to be offering, you know, good, consistent coffee and communicating, you know, this is what a cappuccino is, this is what a latte is. And that requires maybe a different focus, because you don't need 10 choices in that menu. You probably need 3, and you probably need one coffee. Along with that, there should be like a realistic expectation that you can grow your business. So you don't need to have everything right at the beginning. You don't need to open your doors and it be the vision of what your perfect cafe is. It needs to be like the minimum viable product. So it needs to be what you need to make money, and enough room on the bar, enough room on the menu, that once you feel comfortable that you're delivering that well and you're making customers happy, what do you most want to introduce next? Do you then want to add cold brew or filter coffee or a second espresso option or whatever? If you try from day one to offer, you know, 3 different espressos from multiple roasters with 9 brew methods and then cocktails or whatever, it's possible to do it, but it becomes really expensive and it might not be what your customers need or want. If you can build that flexibility into the business early on, you're much more likely to find out what it is that you want to be doing and what your customers want you to be doing. So,
definitely sounds like a problem of focus a little bit at the start and keeping things simple, and like you said, understanding that where you are is not necessarily where you want to be, but working within the constraints that you have.
Yeah.
When it comes to the relationship that an independent coffee shop owner builds with their supplier, what are realistic expectations in terms of service, in terms of where the relationship can go, in terms of the opportunities that come out, and how do you pitch what you're doing at Hasbeen as a supplier to independent coffee shop owners?
So the simple answer is it depends on the businesses. It's easy to think about cafes as being the same, you know, because they have a till and they have coffee and a grinder and they're going to serve customers. But the market that each cafe is opening in is different, and the needs that each barista or cafe owner is going to have are going to be different. Different levels of experience with coffee, different levels of training need, different familiarity with the equipment and what's available and what's out there. So a lot of new cafes will be looking for, you know, tell us which equipment we should buy. Other coffee brands, other roasteries, they might be really focused on delivering, you know, from the beginning, this is how you open a cafe. These are the questions you need to ask. And we try and do that too, but we're very open to providing different options, because when you're working with small businesses, there is no one size fits all kind of thing. If you're working with small teams, individual sites, and really looking at those needs, you might find that there's a different solution for each one. My opinion, and what I train in my staff who are looking after our wholesale customers, is try and have a really open conversation at the beginning and try and work out what that customer needs. Try and work out, you know, what is it that they want to present to their customers product-wise, and then look at equipment, then look at the tools they need to deliver that. Because really the customer will rarely care what machine their coffee is being made on. They may think they do, and we often think they do. You know, we look at the different brands, go, oh, yeah, well, definitely, like, if we get the shiny machine, that will make the difference.
Yeah.
But really, product will have more impact long term. At the beginning of a relationship, most cafes should be getting an understanding of what that the roastery or the supplier they're talking to, what they're good at doing. And just understand, is that the right fit for my business, where I am? Do those products feel like a good first step? And then as the business develops and as the cafe owner gets a better understanding of their needs, if they're communicating well with their supplier throughout, often as they grow, they become more important and more valuable, and they can begin to change what the roastery does. They can begin to ask for a little bit more, and the roastery can work with them to make sure that they maintain their relationship and they maintain, like, that relative importance to each other.
In terms of education, how would you recommend that an independent coffee shop owner takes their knowledge to the next level? Because, of course, if you're starting a shop, presumably it's because you're passionate, so yeah, you'll know something. But how do you get the real sort of in-depth expertise when you're juggling all of these different things? Like, what are your recommendations to people who are looking to really up their knowledge but don't necessarily have an awful lot of time? Are there resources? Are there events? Are there communities that they can be a part of?
So, first of all, it's much easier now than it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago, particularly things like the SEA, Specialty Coffee Association. You can argue about the pros and cons of all their education systems, but what they are is it's an established base. And you will, if you go on one of their foundation courses, you will know what everyone who's taken that course knows. You know, you will have the same access to the same information. Being involved with the organizations like that, membership is very cheap. You don't even need to be a member to access most of their resources. But that is where a lot of the conversations around coffee are happening. So start off with that. Involve yourself with those kind of trade organizations. If you want to find staff, they're a great resource, and they're a great kind of badge or calling card to go, okay, well, this is somebody who knows this much. I don't think it's enough or the be-all or end-all, but it does give you like a level that you can understand and that you can match. There's a lot of books out there, so read them. You know, and no one has quite enough time, but there aren't that many books on coffee. So you could probably read, you know, the 5 best books on coffee that are available today. That's a week's work. And if you're going to run a cafe for the next 2 years, you should do that.
What are those books? Just quickly.
In my opinion, for barista skills, it's still probably the best resource is a book by Scott Rao, which is the Professional Barista's Handbook. That's a really solid kind of overview on barista skills, on working with like understanding extractions and basic milk stuff. For coffee generally, James Hoffman's Coffee Atlas, you know, it gives you an overview. It's a really good crib sheet on most of the producing countries in the world, and it will get you excited about asking other questions. There's some really good books that I like on coffee history. Like one of those as well that will help you understand the product. Between those, like, you should have read those. You should have an understanding of the product and enough excitement around the product that you'll be able to at least start answering some questions when you have potential customers, but also work out what your questions are, which bits did you not understand, and that will always lead to another book or another resource.
And then in terms of communities, you mentioned before we started recording that you met a lot of great people through competing in the Barista Championships. For someone who's not necessarily going to go and compete in the Barista Championships, what are the other sort of community events and get-togethers that they can be a part of and meet and learn from other professionals in the industry?
So, I mean, the first thing to do is find out what is going on. And normally that will be through another cafe or, you know, either existing in your community, or go to another town, go to another city and see what a great cafe looks like there. And ask the baristas, you know, where'd you find out about this? Because normally there will be, as well as, you know, the annual barista championships and the other events like that, there'll be regional throwdowns and latte art events. Even if you are not excited about competing in those things or being the barista in them, they are a great resource in terms of all that coffee community will be together, you know, or a section of that community who are really excited about coffee. So it's a great place to have conversations about where's the market going, you know, what's different here compared to my market. If it's in the same market, so if you're opening in somewhere like London, you know, there will be a great cafe one tube stop away or whatever, and you find out where the staff are going to there, and then suddenly you'll meet lots of potential employees. But you'll also get a feeling there'll be other store owners there, there'll be other people who have either gone through the journey you're about to go through, or, you know, are at a different stage and have, like, useful advice. And most of those events are pretty open and people are pretty communicative, because most small cafe owners, they want to talk to other people about what they're doing. You know, we're not working in a big company with all the support that you get from that. So they want to share and they want to work with other people and they want to kind of network and share resources. Trade shows I hate. You know, it's like, for me, it's the worst thing in the world, but they are a useful and necessary evil. Like, there is normally, let's say, panel shows or panel events at a trade show, and the people who are sat in the seats are often as interesting as the people talking. Maybe it's the same people sometimes. We can have, like, a constant, like, swapping between the two. But if there's a trade show on, or find out what the next two or three bigger ones are for your community or for your country, and go to them, because you will learn something. Even if the only thing you learn is, wow, there are a lot of people doing something similar to what I'm doing, or there are a lot of potential other suppliers than the one I was considering. And that helps you get an idea of your options, and that helps you work out which is the right one for you.
Of course, education is an ongoing process, but assuming someone's got to a decent level and they've been going to these events and they've been doing the reading that you've suggested, when they then come to a supplier, what sort of different configurations do you recommend they think about in terms of how many different varieties of beans do I need for the different drinks that I'm going to make? Of course, the answer to an extent is going to be, it depends.
Yeah.
But how can an independent coffee shop owner think about, okay, you know, do I need one for espresso? Do I need one for milk-based drinks? Do I need one for filter? Like, how do you encourage someone to think about that who's buying from you?
So, I mean, the first thing I say to someone is, it really doesn't matter as much as you think it does. When we work with a lot of customers right at the beginning, what they're most interested in is having, you know, it has to be a really good blend. It has to be the perfect blend. And there's no such thing. You know, it does depend on their preferences and what they want to serve. But it's also something you can change really quickly. The relationship with your supplier is probably more important. So the first thing is, like, is this someone you can work with and communicate with, you know, and are you on a shared page about what good is? Because there are lots of different, like, subjective versions of what good coffee is. In terms of how many products you might start with, we normally say start with one or two, you know, have that limited range and then build from it, but have real focus over what it is you want. My preference, so we sell more blends, you know, relatively than any one of the single origins, but it's about 50-50. 50% of our sales will be various single origins, of which we have lots. 50% will be, you know, the four or five blends that we do or customize, whatever. My personal preference is single origins, because when you're working with a single origin, it's very easy to talk about coffee. You know, you don't need to overpromise on its perfection. You can talk about, this tastes like this because of these things that we know about the coffee. Whereas when you're serving a blend, you end up saying, this tastes like this, it's called this. And maybe you can say, you know, in most cases nowadays, you'll be able to talk about the origins that are in there, and they'll be changing frequently. So it's not about freshness or quality, but it does limit the conversation to, yeah, I serve this because I like it and it's called this. Whereas with single origins, you can feel a little freer to change them, because they always run out. You know, that they never last forever. The crop doesn't last that long. And that forces you to rethink what you're doing and forces you to change it. I trust customers to know what a good extraction is. So they may prefer, you know, a certain kind of roasty coffee or a certain kind of thing, but those things don't really change just because the coffee bean you're using changes. That's much more tied to the way the staff are making the coffee and the kind of roast profile or kind of coffee profile you buy. So I think you can change little things, like is it from Costa Rica, is it from Nicaragua, almost every day. And the same customer who liked the coffee yesterday will come in and still like the coffee, particularly if it's a milk drink, which is going to be like 90%+ of your sales. And the customers who really like tasting the coffee and are really particular about espresso or filter, often they're the ones who are most excited about it changing. So you don't lose those by being a little freer with that kind of decision making.
So what do you think good coffee looks like? It's something you alluded to earlier. And obviously there's a subjective and objective component to it. But for the things that for you are really indisputable, what would you say to shop owners? What should they definitely know? What's the truth about good coffee in your view?
Coffee is always going to be a product that you learn to enjoy, not one that you start off, oh, it's instantly tasty, like strawberries, right? No one hates strawberries the first time they taste them. I don't think so. but coffee is a learned response to, you know, cultural things. So you're always growing up in coffee. The product that's available now, because there are so many good roasters all across the world who are buying better coffee, the facilities for producers, like the access to market for good coffee and the desire for good coffee has grown so much that now if you're setting up a cafe, you can find good coffee. You can find coffee that genuinely tastes a little better than coffee used to taste, a little more interesting. It doesn't always match what your customer's expectations of good is. I think a lot of the hard work has been done because specialty coffee, at least in the UK and in most of Europe, is pretty mainstream now. You know, most communities will have a good cafe that they can go into, and now it's developing that market, putting your slant on it or your idea of space or experience or hospitality along with good product. There's still potential for the product to get better objectively, but it's a small one from where we were. For me, quality comes down to, like, objective quality comes down to good extractions, good roasts, good raw product, good green coffee. And so when you're talking to your supplier, generally you want help with all those things or reassurance with all those things. So you want to understand where they're buying their coffee from and why they think it's good. And if they can't answer a few more questions than you have, maybe there's a problem there. In terms of roast, my preference is you shouldn't taste the flavor of roast. You know, you shouldn't taste a generic characteristic of roast. If you can, then why are you spending money on different coffees or better coffees? In terms of extraction, I want my provider to help me achieve the right extraction from that coffee. And that could be with formal training or with informal training, but they should contribute to that growth and that development, either of, you know, me as the cafe owner or of my staff. And that doesn't mean it needs to be like a formal 12-week course is provided for free, but it should mean that they should be able to help you with good advice on equipment, good advice on brewing recipes, and some honest advice when they come into your store. Like, they should taste the coffee with you. And they should go, yeah, you know, maybe this isn't quite right. Or this is what we're doing in our roastery. After a little while of working with espresso, you can taste pretty objectively, no, this is a bad extraction. There's more flavor in this coffee, or we've pulled too much out and it's tasting a little rough because of it. Most baristas will be able to do that once they've had access to good coffee.
So you touched on the product. The product isn't enough, though, as you're sort of alluding to here. It's also about an awareness of how you're using it and who's using it. Obviously, as a barista, you've sort of had a lot of experience with making coffee as well. Yeah. And so you know the skills that a good barista should have. What's your advice to shop owners who are looking to hire their first barista or someone to join their business? Because it does have such a huge impact on the customer's experience and ultimately the success of the business. So what should someone be looking for in their barista?
So, and I hate to say this because I spent, you know, 10, 15 years focused on getting better at making coffee, but it's not that hard. You know, technology has really helped a lot. Better access to training has helped a lot. So the skill you should be looking for is not the ability to extract espresso or steam milk. They are teachable things, and the more you do it, the faster you get at getting better at it. anyone who works in a shop for a week making, you know, 200 cappuccinos will get really good at making cappuccinos pretty fast. It's really hard to teach people to be engaging and excited with customers. And to a point, that is the product you're selling. The product is the experience of being in the cafe, of tasting that kind of product, the way it's being built. So if you can find baristas who are naturally engaging, that want to talk to people, that want to serve coffee and share coffee with people, who are, you know, genuinely excited about that human part of it, you will create a warmer, happier experience for your customers. And that will help customers find the quality in your product, because the barista will be bringing them into it, will be selling it to them. And it's, you know, it's a sales job. It's you are trying to sell the virtue of the special coffee that you and only you can sell. So your baristas should be ambassadors for that. They should be talking about, this is how I've brewed it, this is where we sourced it. That can be about, you know, the roastery that you're buying from, or that can be about the particular region that they've chosen to buy the coffee from this week. So that requires excitement about the product. You know, if you've got a few people who have gone through that process of the business growing and are still really engaged with the business, they are keepers. So really look after them, because once they've got a year's experience working in your cafe, honestly, it'd be really hard to replace them. So look after them. Try and maintain their growth so that they keep growing as individuals, taking on more responsibility. Don't end up being in the cycle where you're always recruiting new people and you're having to train them from the beginning all the time, because that becomes really hard.
So we've touched on product, we've touched on people. I have a feeling we could go on for hours and hours, but in order to be respectful of your time, let's finish up with a couple of quick questions.
Okay.
What are your current coffee habits? So how many coffees do you have a day? What do you have? When do you have them?
So, you know, I won the World Barista Championship, so I'm meant to be like this perfect ambassador of espresso. And my biggest habit is how little espresso I drink. Unless I'm specifically doing a task involved with it, be it like QC on one of our blends or with one of our single origins, I very rarely order espresso in a cafe. That is not the drink I go for. I drink a lot of filter coffee, probably too much. You know, every day I start the day with, you know, half a liter of coffee. I drink bad coffee. If I make a brew that isn't great, I will probably drink it if I'm doing emails. And I can recognize that it's not great. When I brew great coffee or when I go out, I want to drink great coffee. So I would normally order filter coffee. I will normally order the most interesting thing for me that's on the menu. And then I'm super disappointed if I don't notice it. There's nothing I hate more than thinking I'm going to have something exciting. And I was like, well, that's fine. Because I can do that at home every morning. You know, when I go out to a cafe, I want to have an interesting product. I don't go to cafes as much as I think I would if I didn't work in coffee. I don't choose to do that as something I do at the weekend, you know, whereas most people not working in cafe. That's a great way to start, you know, go and get some brunch and do whatever. It feels too much like work. So I also drink a lot of cappuccinos, whereas I feel that, you know, most coffee professionals, they don't seem to like milk. I like milk. I also like dairy cappuccinos, and, you know, it's, I don't know, Veganuary. I'm not sure what the pronunciation is, but yeah. I don't enjoy oat milk cappuccinos as much as I do a real milk cappuccino. I quite like the flavor of milk.
Good to see some of the old school milk people are still going.
Yeah.
What have you changed your mind about in the coffee industry recently?
Over Christmas, I did an interview with a newspaper, and they were asking about Italian coffee culture. And they asked some questions, I gave some answers, and it was reported, you know, whatever, as a bigger piece. But they didn't really get what I was talking about, because their article was mostly about how Italian coffee is, you know, is different to what you see elsewhere in the world, and it's, like, stuck in time. And actually, that's something that I learned over the last year as I went on holiday to Sicily for, you know, a foodie holiday. Like, I was going to eat cakes and, you know, gelato and whatever, which I also did. It was great. It was beautiful. I was going to avoid coffee completely because my expectation was coffee would be bad. And, you know, I walked into a little Italian cafe because I wanted to buy a cake. And I took a risk and I ordered some coffee and it was great. And it wasn't exceptional, but it was not terrible, dark roasted, smoky, traditional Italian espresso style that we you know, demonize, and we always talk about, you know, we're a reaction to that kind of thing. Coffee in Italy is getting better all the time, and better in my style of better. You know, it's specialty coffee is there, and it's in the weirdest places. So it's not just in the fancy cafe in, you know, in the big cities, but in some of the rural communities, there are baristas, just like there are baristas in, you know, the small towns in the UK, who are excited about coffee, who want to buy single origin, who, you know, really enjoy the flavor, and they want to do something different. I think there is a little bit in specialty cafe that it is an exciting industry to be in when you're young. You know, you want to do something different. And coffee, actually like wine as well, you know, wine is a very old school business, but there is this trend for, you know, nice wine bars serving natural wines, doing things differently as a reaction to that thing that your parents did. And every community has that. And it might not be exactly the same. So you go into a traditional cafe that is choosing to do better coffee in Italy, it won't be the same as a traditional cafe in the UK that's, you know, started changing their mind. But you will get better product now than you used to get. And you will get more interesting and more diverse coffees than you used to get. And you see that everywhere. So
it's a nice optimistic note to end on, Dale. Thanks so much for coming on the show. It was a pleasure having you on.
Thanks for the time.
Where can listeners find out a little bit more about you and what you do online?
I think look on Instagram. It's always the easiest way. I don't post a lot, but I'm Acoustic Coffee on there. Or like it has been, you can always see, you know, what Steve and what I'm doing there. So
we'll link to that in the show notes. Dale, thanks a lot. It was awesome.
Cool. Thank you.
If you're interested in more insights and advice, you can access all of the bonus content from today's episode, including the episode transcript, on our blog at izettle.com or direct from the link bit.ly/izettlepodcast. Just choose the episode you want, go to the page and sign up on the form to access your bonus content. And finally, if you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe to the show and leave us a rating and review. Thanks for tuning in to Been There, Done That, and catch you next time.